Wakefield's Information Station, 1540 WADK.
It's the Open Forum on 1540 WADK. Call 846-1028, 846-1028. Now, the Open Forum on 1540 WADK.
And good afternoon. Welcome to the Open Forum. My name is Frank Presence. Joining me today is Ryan Belmore, as he often does.
As I often do. We made it a livelihood last week joining each other.
Yeah, you know, that was a lot of fun being out there. And what a great event to bring to Rhode Island. You know, to really showcase what this city has. Not only that, I guess you can look at all the things that happened. It was great for the economy. It was terrific for the region. But I've always marveled at organizations that have the ability to bring out a lot of volunteers who come out and do kind of the scut work, if you will, and make these things work. And that is an incredible celebration. What was it, Ryan? They said 700?
Somewhere between 600 and 700 volunteers. And just a reminder, Sail Newport has a staff of about 10. Yeah. So they did marvelous work. Brad Reed was on yesterday on your show here as I filled in, as well as Evan Smith. They were joined me for a good hour plus and mentioned just about 101,000 people, I think, is somewhere around the final number they're going to go with.
Considering the weather, that was terrific. It was a tough week weather-wise.
Certainly was. We were trenching through the mud just about every day out there.
Yeah, we were. And, you know, watching the rain and watching the people come out, 101,000 people is just pretty remarkable, even more remarkable than the number of the school kids that came out. It was over 5,000, I think, right?
Yeah, it was pretty far up there. And what's even more, you know, as far as that volunteer size, this stopover, as well as the previous stopover, are among the biggest events in Rhode Island history, volunteer-wise.
Oh, it has to be. You know, I've always marveled when I was involved in the theater on the other side of the bay, we were all volunteer, and I always felt that was an unbelievable strength, that it was not only a celebration of the stuff you did, but a real celebration of volunteerism, real celebration of what Rhode Islanders are about. So, great for everybody who turned out as a volunteer. They have what the Jazz and Folk Festivals have a number of volunteers as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of these events, I know, these events are only successful if they had to pay everybody. They wouldn't be able to pull them off. Yeah. I know I'm volunteering in a couple weekends here for the Newport 10 Miler, which benefits the Fort Adams Trust. I'm volunteering as a board member, but certainly these events, if you like them, if you've participated, if you can get involved, just about every event out there needs volunteers in one capacity or another in order to be successful.
Yeah, and it's good to talk about volunteerism because there are a lot of benefits to volunteering. Not only do you help the organization out, do you help something that you have, usually you volunteer to things that you have a passion for, but you get to meet a lot of different people. You get in to see or be part of an event that may be important to you, and just really great to see. So. But that was a lot of fun last week.
It was, and just checking in from Timmy Tui checks in via the phone right now.
Timmy Restroom, does it really do that?
Restroom directional team deserves huge credit.
That's what we were. We were there by the front door of the visitor center, and between trying to talk on the radio and giving people directions to the restrooms that were right in front of them. By the way,
yes. You know, it's one of those things. I believe my parents used to say it. Where you know the answer, but just because somebody's there, you want to ask them.
Right.
You know, like, oh, where's this? Like, you know where it is. If I wasn't here, you would have found it.
And the funny, people were laughing about it around there because they all saw that.
Oh, every time they came up, and they would just run up to the front of the table. It didn't matter if you had headphones on and a mic in front of you. You know, they just wanted your attention. So just got word. Sav will join us here in about 5-10 minutes.
Oh, that's great. So that's a hugely important issue. So I wanted actually, it's a really good segue into talking about what I wanted to do in the first part, which is about politics in Rhode Island. We have, and what he's going to talk about are the number of positions that we have that go uncontested in elections. And that's not good for anybody. And so when, he has a group called FullBallotsRI.com. When he gets on, we'll talk about that. Did you ever have, Ryan, an opportunity to deal with Buddy Cianci?
I actually did. When the last time the tall ships were here, Buddy came down with his crew And he broadcasts from Riptides down on Waits Wharf, broadcasts on the waterfront there, and I was helping out. I was helping out right at that point. I was working, running digital media, social media for Waits Wharf. So got a chance to deal with Buddy for a full show. And, of course, I lived in Providence on Federal Hill for many years, so got a chance to know him pretty well.
Some of us like to call that Federal Heights, but
yes.
I dealt with Buddy a lot over my reportorial career, and I'm happy to note that, you know, Buddy passed away. I'm not happy to note that Buddy passed away a couple of years ago now.
Hopefully that's not breaking news anyway.
That's not breaking news, but the fact is that he has a cousin, Stephen C. Yancey.
Of course he does.
Well,
he has lots of cousins.
But Stephen C. Yancey, a 61-year-old businessman who runs a property management company, has declared his candidacy for the Ward 5 city council seat that in Providence that's held by Joanne Ryan. And he made that announcement, I guess, yesterday with about 50 supporters on hand. That's going to be tough to turn into a win, but he's going to play on the CNC name while also suggesting that he is going to be a different kind of candidate. So we've got that going on. And then one other piece of local political news, and that's the state GOP chairman Brandon Bell is now indicating that he is considering a run for lieutenant governor. That's one of the most highly contested races in Rhode Island, a very, very hot Democratic primary between Dan McKee and Aaron Regenberg. Dan McKee, 65-year-old incumbent running for re-election. Aaron Regenberg, a 27-year-old progressive who is in his second term in the State House of Representatives. Both of them have considerable money. Regenberg is way out in front, I think, with a little over $300,000, and McKee has closing in on $200,000, and that will be a tough race. But now, if things go as if Bell enters a race, you're going to have a primary for the lieutenant governor spot on the Republican
against
side.
Paul Pence,
and Paul Pence has $264 as far as the last campaign finance report. $100 of that he loaned his campaign.
Okay.
But he is vowing to stay in. He says he understands that Brian Bell is considering a challenge.
Brandon Bell.
Why did I say Brian?
That's okay.
Brandon Bell is considering a challenge. And he says that will highlight the differences between our approaches and give options to the party about the best way to win the position and how to best serve the citizens once it is won. And just a reminder that you go back a number of years, and the Cool Moose Party was suggesting we didn't need that position. And so it is actually a position that has evolved over the years. It became full-time when J. Joseph Garrahy was in that lieutenant governor spot, and the Democratic Party wanted to give him more exposure as he considered a run for governor, which he, of course, did, and was governor of Rhode Island for a few years. So they turned that into a full-time position, and each person in there has tried to make it into something that reflects their interest. Dan McKee has been very much out there with small business, and the differences there are that not that Aaron Regenberg isn't for small business, but that Aaron Regenberg certainly comes down on the side of the employee with the he's lobbied for higher minimum wage and all those kinds of things. So interesting developments. And then, of course, we continue to watch what goes on nationally. And I guess there was a big race in Georgia in which Stacey Abrams won the Georgia's Democratic nomination for governor. And a black woman. She was the first black woman to be a major party candidate, a major party nominee for governor in the United States.
And she ran against another woman, correct?
She defeated Stacey Evans.
Yes, I saw a photo of them hugging each other. Yeah. It was a pretty good story that I read. I wish I had it in front of me or remembered where I read it. But they faced off against each other, and it was female versus female for the first time in the state's history. And no matter what, a female was going to win.
So it's they will face, and it says there, she will face either Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle, the top Republican vote-getter Tuesday, or Secretary of State Brian Kemp. Mr. Cagle and Mr. Kemp will vie for their party's nomination in a July runoff. So it is That's going to be really interesting because you're going to have a minority female against a male in virtually incumbent because they're in either secretary of state or lieutenant governor's position. That will provide among many, many, many interesting races on a national level. I think that should bring us close to our break when we come back. Sav Rebecki,
yes.
Sav Rebecki will
Only
join us.
Only 3 out of Rhode Island's 39 cities and towns had a full ballot, full slate of candidates, and Sav is going to talk to us about that. Fullballotsri.com. Do that when we come back.
Birthdays or anniversaries are a big deal. People have parties, give gifts, and generally go out of their way for you. At McKay's, we've been around for 118 years. We're going to do it right in every department of both locations. In the main store, you'll find super values in the coastal gallery, in area rugs and accessories, in upholstered furniture and handcrafted Amish treasures, plus Akronis ergonomic chairs, Shipman bedding, and more. At the front porch, the all-weather selection is better than ever. There's teak, all-weather wicker, rattan, cantilevered umbrellas. There are sofas, chairs, rockers, gliders, Adirondack chairs, and more. Don't forget hammocks and fire pits. It's all happening right now. At McKay's, we've sold the furniture you keep for 118 years. How many people can say that?
Ready to feel like it's summer? Well, the Easton's Beach Snack Bar is open Wednesday through Sunday from 10 to 4. Those world-famous twin lobster rolls await. Two buttery toasted 6-inch rolls filled with chunks of sweet lobster with some fries, just $16.87. Or do the plain and simple, a buttered and grilled 9-inch roll loaded with meat from the whole lobster served with drawn butter and fries, only $18.87. Free parking until Memorial Day. The Easton's Beach Snack Bar is now open Wednesdays through Sundays 10 to 4. Open every day as of Memorial Day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the Memorial Day sale at Ace. The best time to buy a grill from our exclusive lineup of premium brands, like the latest from Weber, Traeger, and more. And right now, get free assembly, free delivery, and free fuel on our top grill brands, $3.99 and up. Get the right grill delivered right to your house. Don't miss the Memorial Day sale, happening now, only at Ace. Offer valid for Ace Rewards members only. See participating store for scheduling and details. Propane tank not included.
Hi, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Gail. We're co-owners of Gill's Appliances with locations in Bristol and Middletown. Don't miss a Memorial Day sale going on now through May 28th. Shop our sale early for all your appliance needs. And be ready for the holiday with a new outdoor grill.
Whether you're planning a backyard barbecue or just planning to purchase new appliances, now is the time to shop for big savings. Visit us at 397 Medicom Avenue in Bristol, 926 Aquidneck Avenue in Middletown, or online at gillsappliances.com.
Come see the difference Gill's makes.
Visit Island Wine and Spirits this weekend for their Memorial Day sale on through Monday, featuring a variety of wine, craft beer, and spirits, including many summer favorites to kick off the season. While you're there, don't forget to ask about their Cheers Rewards program and start saving now. Want to avoid the traffic? Download the Drizzly app on your smartphone and schedule delivery direct from Island Wine and Spirits to you. Conveniently located at 289 Broadway in Newport. Island Wine and Spirits.
WADK 1540 WADK.
And good afternoon. Welcome back to Open Forum. My name is Frank Presence. Ryan Belmore is with me, as is Sav Rebecki. How are you doing today?
Okay, fine. How are you, Frank?
No, I'm alive and well. And you, you've got this new project called FullBallotsRI.com, and long overdue.
Well, thanks. Thanks for saying it. Yep, 35 days left to the most important day of the election year, and that's to declare as a candidate. And as you'll see on our site, FullBallotsRI.com, a little plug in there, over 51% of all elected officials in the state, Senate, reps, and local, would have been elected with just one vote. They had no opponents.
And, Sav, a little background on yourself. I believe, man, we haven't talked in a little while. The last time we talked, you were a candidate against Teresa Paiva-Weed. You are a Jamestown resident. Why don't you just give a little background on who you are so people know where this is coming from?
Okay. Well, yes, Ryan, you were my first ever radio interview 2 years ago about.
Wow, that's tough to admit. Do you admit that to all your friends?
I'm proud to admit it, I got involved in my local government. I was an entrepreneur in the technology business, kind of like the Ken Block guy, retired about early 1996, and started looking for things to do. Went back to my school days and found that I remembered that I really liked poli-sci, and so I started looking to volunteer in local politics, local government, actually. I served on, I was appointed to a charter commission, and I have to say it was a terrible appointment because I knew absolutely nothing about local government.
No, that was a typical appointment.
Yeah. So going back to my entrepreneurial roots, I decided that I better dive in and learn everything. I read just about everybody's town charter, and then I started to attend local town meetings in order to see what the planning board did and the zoning and all of these other committees that are happening in government that most people don't pay attention to, and obviously I never had. So after doing that, I got addicted to going to meetings. I've been to hundreds and hundreds of meetings, started a little project maybe 8 years ago to record and put online town meetings. I did Jamestown I started, then because the project was free, I also did it for Middletown, Newport, Portsmouth, occasionally Tiverton and Little Compton would post some meetings. So I did that, been addicted. But my primary addiction came when I discovered that not enough people ran, stepped forward, and many people were getting elected without ever having an opponent. Because the local party systems just aren't strong enough to provide a candidate for each seat.
Well, I think it's also intimidating for people to run against an incumbent, and also the cost of an election becomes an obstacle.
Well, you're right there, and that scares lots of people. And what we're trying to do with Full Ballot is to help people understand that you've accomplished something just by stepping forward and being on the ballot. I have to say that I've never been, and I've been in several, by the way, kind of addicted to stepping forward. Of every election that I stepped forward to do, I always was able to accomplish something by getting a current issue out in the open and discussed. Happy to say that Teresa Pivoweed came forward at the last election and said that she would be for the governor taking over the budget.
The line item veto.
Line item veto, yes. Yeah. And in other issues, that in local issues, I was able to get discussion. So, yes, unfortunately, it's very difficult, especially for state office, because, you know, you've got 20 or 25,000 constituents in a district, and thinking to getting out to those households, maybe 10 or 12,000 households, and knock on everybody's door, which is, I have to say, the first thing that every radio talk show has ever asked me was, are you out knocking on doors? Well, there's so many of them, you know, who do you not go to? And so that's obviously, if you're trying to follow the norm of being a candidate or the idea of being a candidate, then, as you said, it seems like a daunting task. But the most important thing we can do to start our changing things around is to get people to just step forward and do what needs to be done to make government work. And that is, we need honorable people to get involved in the process. You know, one of the stats on the statewide elections that really blew me away is if we didn't have independent step forward in the last election, 75% of our state offices would have been without opponents, which is unbelievable.
Do you attribute that to? I mean, the reality is that people can step forward. They've been urged to do it before, and they just don't. What motivates them to, A, not come out, and B, which they also don't do, is vote?
Well, I think it's throughout the years I've tried to analyze that. Obviously, I found myself on the last day to declare with minutes left calling people and begging them to come in. But I'd have to say, first of all, it's the busy lifestyles. We look at the job as being too difficult or too time-consuming. Not the job, for example, for local office, planning boards and zoning boards only meet once or twice a month. But for the statewide offices, it's obviously looked upon as a huge commitment.
The planning board,
also, I'm sorry?
Planning boards and zoning boards are appointed positions. They're not elected. So when you're talking about elected, you're talking about school committee, and you're talking about council. In some places, they may have other positions, but it's most of those others are appointed. But it's stepping forward for those as well.
Yes, you're right. But I was accidentally on the school committee because I was the only one to run against the school board, and after the election, which I did not win, someone resigned for personal reasons, and I was the next highest vote getter and was on the school committee for 3 years, but the job was a couple of days a month, and certainly not a difficult task. When I look around me and I see all my fellow baby boomers, I'm sure they would be enjoy having something extra to do. So I'm putting a call out to the boomers, yes, it's difficult to step forward. The other thing I have to say is, everybody probably realizes it, that the opposition party, the Republican Party, has really been, I have to say, I guess you could say, decimated over the years. It dwindles. It's more and more difficult to find a Republican or someone who would admit that they're a Republican. And for example, Chairman Bell announced that last week or 2 weeks ago that he wasn't trying to get 113 people to run for the state offices that they're needed, 75 Senate and, I mean, 75 reps and 35 senators. He said he was only looking to get 50 or 60. So starting from there, we already know that we've got a 50% deficit in people running for state offices.
Well, and he's going to be distracted because he's just indicated he's giving serious consideration to a run for Secretary of State.
You're right. I picked that up last night in a tweet. I was surprised to hear that. So things look even worse without an organized effort of getting people out there. So it's really up to the unaffiliated independents to step forward.
You know what? I'm going to hold you there for a minute. We've got to go to a break. Hang on for a minute. We'll come back and want to explore that a little bit more.
Did you know that according to Nielsen, the number one media rating service, 93% of all adults listen to radio every week? That's right. More people listen to radio than those reached by local television, cable TV, Facebook, or Google. Maybe you thought that radio was more of a medium of the past, but the truth is that radio touches our everyday lives with music, news, and your favorite on-air personalities. Yes, radio has certainly seen its share of competition over the years with newspapers, television, and now satellite and social media, but live and local radio is still the most trusted media companion in our daily lives. Getting your message heard on your local radio station is personal, affordable, and if done right, extremely effective. So invite these listeners to your business by using the active local medium that provides the first impression they hear in the morning or the last message they hear as they exit the car. If you'd like to learn more about how radio advertising can work for your business, call Bonnie Gomes today at 401-846-1540 and find out why radio may be the best answer to your marketing needs.
Thank Banking can be pretty much the same everywhere, but what's not the same at every financial institution is the people. And at People's Credit Union, the people who work there are in the business of helping the people who bank there. People's Credit Union takes pride in getting to know you and offering financial solutions that can really help. People's Credit Union has great low rates on home, personal, auto loans, and they can even refinance your existing loans. Why not stop in a branch to say hi or visit online today at peoplescu.com. People's Credit Union. You belong here.
Member NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
People's Credit Union is proud to share the spotlight with these fine area businesses.
Jamestown Arts Center, your local hub for visual and performing arts. Presenting JAC Talks with Tony Estrella of the GAM Theater on May 31st at 6 p.m. and Fusion Works site-specific dance performance on Saturday, June 2nd at 7 p.m. Tickets and info at jamestownartcenter.org.
May is National Foster Care Month. Child and Family has been providing foster care since 1866 and continues to serve children in need. Please join them at the 4th Annual Townsend Luncheon to benefit their foster care programs June 20th at Ocean Cliff. Tickets and information at childandfamilyri.org.
Take WADK to work for the talk of the town with Bruce Newberry. Bruce talks with local newsmakers, local celebrities, and you. Weekday mornings from 9 to noon, WADK.
And welcome back to Open Forum. My name is Frank Presence. With me is Ryan Belmore and Sav Rebecki. Sav Rebecki has launched a website called FullBallotsRI.com in hopes of encouraging people to run for office. And, Ryan, you had a question.
Oh, boy.
All right, that's enough.
Jeez. Well, Sav, I guess it starts with, you know, reminding people why it's so important, even if they have, you know, or believe they have no shot, or everybody believes they have no shot, just why it's so important to have somebody on the other side of that ballot.
Yes. You know, I was thinking about that while waiting for you to come back on the line. The question is what do the elected officials who consistently get reelected and elected without a challenger think? Do they think, you know, silence is consent? Do they think that I must be doing a great job because no one wants to run against me? Or do they think that the population is apathetic and they can do things that they want without really having to pay the price? And I think that's the issue we address. That moment, and I've been there several times, that moment before they read out the total from the ballot box is an important moment of soul searching. And I believe that every candidate should have that moment of wondering, gee, maybe they didn't elect me, or maybe they didn't get elected.
Well, I think one of my thoughts is that what goes through their mind, if you take a look at their campaign finances, those that are raising a lot of money understand the that they could be challenged, but try to put up through their fundraising and through these huge finance campaigns or their accounts, an obstacle. People take a look at, for instance, the governor, and I'm not suggesting anything. We've got 74,000 people running for governor, but the governor has $4.3 million sitting in her campaign account. That's pretty intimidating.
You're absolutely right. And since you did bring up money, it's another positive reason to run is to help the economy. And I say that because in looking back at all of the people that ran last time without opponents, we actually left $1.5 million of campaign funds in their pockets, which would have been spent if they had people against them, running against them. They had opponents. The opponents would have required them to spend some money. But when you don't have an opponent, your campaign fund just keeps building and building.
And one of the most important reasons to run is because it opens up conversations, as you pointed out, is, it, you know, you can hear each side of an issue.
Absolutely. And that gets them, gets attention. Fortunately, we have a lot of different avenues for media, but the media discussion, the people that come forward and bring out all areas of the issue, that's so valuable. Unfortunately, I've been around long enough. Well, fortunately, I've been around long enough. I've been around long enough to remember when print media was so large and successful that the Providence Journal, for example, had an office just about in every city and town.
Well, not quite, but about a dozen around the state.
Yeah, they had them everywhere, and people, ideas from one community would be seen by another nearby community, and there was lots of conversation about those issues. Unfortunately, today, the conversations, there are many, but they get splintered around. But either way, as you said, the important thing is that we get issues discussed and important enough to make a difference in just that process.
Sav, let's talk about the process of what people would have to do in the next 35 days, 2 hours, 23 minutes, and 25 seconds.
24 seconds, 23 seconds.
All right, well, the deadline is the 25th, 26th, or 27th of June. The final day is the 27th. What I have become accustomed to doing is simply going down on the 27th and looking at who has signed up for what offices and deciding, okay, which one do I want to have a discussion about or with. And that's actually why I ended up running against Teresa Pivot-Weed 2 years ago. I had no intention initially of doing that. But I walked down to my town clerk's office and Board of Elections, and there I saw for my town council there were five seats. Only five people signed up. For my school committee, there were three seats. Only three people signed up. There were no opposition candidates, including town moderator, which is pretty common, and Teresa Pivot-Weed for Senate. So what you do, I got a little bit off topic there, but at any rate, the step is that you sign up. You just say, here's the office I want to run, put my name on the ballot for. That's it. Then within a few days, the town clerk gives you a packet from the State House and basically from the Board of Elections, and the packet says, okay, here's some papers, go out and get some signatures of registered voters that want you to get on the ballot too. And that's it. If it's a local office, it takes 50 signatures. We usually try to get more than that just in case some of the people that signed really aren't registered voters. For the state, it takes 100. I think that I got only four signatures less than Teresa Pivot-Weed when I submitted my papers. And it's as easy as standing, going around to your neighbors and just saying, I'd like to get on the ballot so that there's some competition or opposition to whoever else is running. And people are always very willing to get that ballot filled up.
So my question is so you just, it doesn't it make sense to make sure that those people who run for office really want to serve in that office and just don't want to be token candidates, and that they're running as informed individuals who have a real reason to seek that position and therefore have the ability to raise real issues that you can have dialogue over during the campaign?
Well, I'm not saying that someone who just walked in off the street puts their name in. If they're aware enough to know about this initiative, they should be aware enough to know what the task entails. And the people that sign their papers may or may not know that, but that'll all work itself out in the wash. You know, the media can clearly show a candidate who has no qualifications or interest in the position that they're running for.
Less so today. We've learned that all the way up to a national level, that that's not always the case.
Yes, that's true. I guess I've made my success by understanding that in life that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. You've got to take a step. We've got to start. Maybe it's a whole new generation of people. Maybe it's all the new group of baby boomers that step forward, or their grandchildren, or their wives, or their aunts, whatever. I have to tell you, I was really impressed North Kingstown invited the three Senate candidates, actually should have been six, to speak to their political science group. And they were really taken back because out of the three offices that were Senate seats that they were being presented with, only one of them had an opponent, and that was me. The other two senators had no opponent, and they were just amazed that that's the way our system was. And I encourage them to hopefully get their grandparents and any honorable people they know to step forward.
So I think the call is maybe I can paraphrase for Sav. The call is, if you've ever looked at a meeting or went to a meeting or been paying attention to what's happening in your town and go, why, what, when, how, who, this is a call for you.
Absolutely. That's an excellent way to put it.
There you go. Ryan, why don't you run for office?
I'm a little busy.
a little bit. I want to say that Newport, Portsmouth, Middletown really are not that damaged or, say, challenged as Jamestown was. Of course, Newport had two ward seats without any challenges. They had almost a full eight people to run for the city council. School committee, there were a couple people short for a full ballot on both sides. Portsmouth worked really hard. They had, but their school committee, their whole entire school committee, four people had no challenges, which is really sad.
So here's what my suggestion would be, Sav, which I think is
sure.
So I look at this, and I've spent a lot of time watching politics on a local level and on a statewide level, and what I think is intimidating to people is they don't know the process. They don't know what it's going to take for them to run for office. They don't know what's expected of them. And they become intimidated over it. And that also goes for voters. We need to educate people well in advance of June 25, 26, and 27 as to the reasons to run for office, as to what's expected, and what it takes. We also have to educate them that you can win. Nelly Gorbea, who is our Secretary of State, is a prime example. She was an unendorsed candidate who ended up winning. The late Claiborne Pell was an unendorsed candidate for Senate when he ran. So people can get into that system against a lot of odds and be able to succeed, and they don't necessarily need to have a ton of money. They do need financial support, don't necessarily need to have a ton of money.
Absolutely right. I think that education needs to go on continuously, like so many things in our society. The education of the value of a full ballot or a full competitive system needs to be touted over and over again. And stepping forward, as I like to say, is it's really about as simple as you could make it. The winning part is challenging. And I think I'd like to see that we have many people step forward this time around just to be on the ballot. And of those people, they discover that it's something that's not as hard or that they're really good at. And people encourage them to run again. And I think that's how one of the ways to get it moving in that direction.
I want to remind people. I just pulled up the data. Secretary of State is holding how to run for office seminars.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Two more coming up. There's one on Wednesday, May 30th at 6 p.m. at CCRI in Lincoln. And there is one on Friday, June 1st, 6 p.m. at CCRI in Warwick. That information is available on Secretary of State's websites, but also looking at fullballotsri.com. Sav, you say feel free to contact me with questions or to arrange a meeting with your group and help convince honorable Rhode Islanders you know to step up forward, and you will work with them to know what they need to.
I sure will. Yes.
And I just want—I just want to be clear. You have no political affiliation. I mean, even we know clearly that you know it's mostly Democrats in office, and the vacancies are usually the fact that there are no Republicans running. But you're not doing this from a partisan basis. You're doing it from a bipartisan basis.
Yeah, it's totally an unaffiliated effort or a nonpartisan effort. On our website, I have links to all of the parties that we know about that are official, the Democrat, Libertarian, Republican parties. because I make it clear that if you want to run and you are a registered in a party, all you need to do is contact your local committee, and they will help you get on the ballot and help you with your names.
Great. And, Rob, mostly, I'm going to have to hold you there because we're out of time. And, we'll catch up with you. I'd like to catch up with you as we get closer to filing date and see how well you're doing.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your concern.
Sav, I have one more question. What are the early words are you hearing out there? Are you hearing people are stepping up and challenging some of our local office holders? Or are you hearing that there are a lot of candidates already out there?
Only in the upper levels, as you're hearing. I'm not getting much feedback yet. I've got to call out to all of the town clerks committees, local elected committees to pass on. We'd like to establish a rolling inventory of people who have declared before the 25th, but I can't say right now that I'm enthusiastic about the numbers because I don't have any.
Sounds good. Well, we appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you maybe once we get after sometime in June. We'll catch up with you.
Great.
All right. Sav Rebecki, fullballotsri.com for more information. Be back here on the Open Forum. Frank Prosnitz, Ryan Belmore after this.
As baby boomers age, there are so many potential issues and real concerns.
What's the best housing solution for our elderly?
Will we have enough money saved for retirement?
How do we maintain optimal health?
What sort of estate planning should we be doing?
How do we choose the best Medicare plan?
AM 1540 WADK wants to help. On the first and third Friday of each month from noon to 1, experts from a variety of fields gather to discuss all these issues and more relative to anyone 55 or over with aging parents on Elder Affairs. Tune in live to hear this expert advice or go to WADK.com for podcasts of the program under the Elder Affairs tab.
Brought to you by Bledham Newport. Law offices of Silva, Thomas, Martland, and Offenberg. Chris Offenberg, Elder Law. Balance at Home. Carol Miller of Reverse Mortgage Funding. And Village House Nursing and Rehabilitation Center.
The Newport County Chamber of Commerce is happy to announce the addition of our all-new job bank on NewportChamber.com. For a low monthly fee, Chamber members can post available job positions for up to 30 days. This hassle-free, inexpensive option is the perfect way to reach your target market and find the employees you are looking for. If you are searching for a job, look no further. Job seekers may post their resumes for free. Visit NewportChamber.com today and put your job needs to rest.
Humphreys Building Supply, 1540 WADK, and the all-new Mix 99.3 present the Newport County Chamber of Commerce Business of the Week.
Newport County Driving School is dedicated to providing a safe and respectful driving environment for student drivers. They offer complete behind-the-wheel instructions, flexible hours, door-to-door service, and competitive prices. Go to NewportCountyDrivingSchool.com for more information.
Think, be, and support local. Start with this Business of the Week.
Are you tired of leaky, drafty steel basement bulkhead doors? Well, it's time to take a look at Clam Door. It's unlike anything you've seen before. Clam Door is one-third the weight and is built here in Rhode Island by master boat builders who know how to build to weather any storm. Clam Door is owned and marketed by a reputable, well-known area business, Humphreys Building Supply. Scott Humphrey invites you to experience his company's real passion for products built right. Go to clamdoor.com for more information.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay. So why am I outside my beachfront suite, aimlessly leading a 40-guest conga through the streets of Myrtle Beach? Because Hotels.com lets me do me. And because once you start a conga, apparently it's impossible to stop. I have no idea where I'm leading these people. Hotels.com. You do you and get rewarded.
I'm Bob Mastin. I founded Custom House Coffee in 2002. We started roasting from day one. When I founded the business, I really wanted to make sure that we could be competitive with other upscale coffee places. What I decided was that I really had to offer the freshest fresh roasted coffee. We roast every day, sometimes more than once a day, on two different machines now. I started with one machine, but we have two. We have about 60 wholesale accounts. So that's one of the reasons we're roasting so frequently. But we also sell 20, 30 pounds of coffee a day retail to people who brew coffee at home. We also have a dedicated wholesale line if anyone wants to order beans wholesale, like a bed and breakfast or a restaurant. The wholesale line is 401-842-0285. Custom House Coffee, 796 Aquidneck Avenue in Middletown. Our website is customhousecoffee.com.
And welcome back to Open Forum. My name is Frank Prozis. Ryan Belmore is with me. We've been talking with Sabra Becky about the lack of candidates on the ballot. But here's some breaking news. Comes out, and this comes out from Atlanta, from the NFL, has its new official rule on kneeling during the national anthem. Following a year of hand-wringing and disagreement inside the league's ownership ranks, team owners approved a new measure on Wednesday, that would be today, that gives players the option of staying in the locker room during the national anthem if they don't wish to stand during the ceremonies. Under the new rule, players who choose to be on the field during the anthem will be required to stand. If a player or team employee is on the field during the anthem and chooses not to stand, that player's franchise will be fined by the NFL. In turn, players and employees who choose to attend the anthem ceremonies but do not stand will also be eligible for a fine by their franchise if the team chooses to levy one. So there you go. There you have it.
That one's going to take a minute to process.
Well, you know what? I think in terms of the players that the only way that they can effectively use that as a protest, if you will, or as a statement, is if virtually everybody from the team stays in the locker room and there's nobody out there during the national anthem,
which is how it used to be.
You know,
several years ago in the 2000s, the players would be in the locker room until after the national anthem. They'd be introduced and come out on the field after the national anthem. So yeah, they wouldn't even be standing. They'd be sitting in their locker room during the national anthem. So it's all a big hoopla.
So perhaps it goes back to that. But they're trying to get around it, so it's not a big issue. I did want to talk about one thing that came up last week. The Senate voted overwhelmingly with only three dissenters that would change the way we view alternative heating sources, alternative energy sources. You know, we think of solar and we think of wind power. The Senate approved a measure that would include something called biomass, and that is actually wood. And there was a protest yesterday at the General Assembly, and this was, in fact, as the House of Representatives takes it up. Let me backtrack a moment. There are only three senators who voted against the bill, one of them being Dawn Oyer, and they voted against it because they felt that contrary to what was being represented by a company that may have interest in introducing one of these plants in Johnston, claiming that it is positive for the environment, that in fact they see it as something that is detrimental to the environment. So yesterday, the Environmental Council, which is a group of 62 advocacy groups in the state, held a rally at the State House. And this is what they had to say. This comes from Meg Kerr, who is a senior policy director with the Audubon Society of Rhode Island and the incoming president of the Environmental Council. She said, we know that wood burning would increase carbon dioxide emissions, making this policy inconsistent with our Resilient Rhode Island Act, which sets goals for reducing greenhouse gas emissions in the state. Wood pellet and chip boilers also emit more particulate matter per unit of energy than fossil fuel boilers. It's a bad policy choice for the state. Governor has come out and said she hasn't made a decision yet and that she's going to weigh what they have to say. And our friend over at Common Cause, John Marion, says that this is really an example. It puts into stark relief the nexus of politics and money in our state. The skids for this change are being greased with political donations to the most powerful. And he pointed out, or I guess maybe the Journal pointed out, but he also pointed out that Green Development, his founder, Mark DePasquale, and I guess that's the company that's involved with this, has contributed over $30,000 to House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello, to Senate President Ruggiero, and to Governor Raimondo and other state leaders. And so that, I think, is an important issue that's now at the House of Representatives. If you are opposed to it, talk to your representatives and let them know how you feel. There's a lot of what was happening is that the senators who favored this were quoting the literature from the company that would be producing this, and instead of doing their research. And apparently there's lots of research out there that runs counter to some of their claims. This is proposed for Johnson, still would have to pass the Johnson Planning Board, I presume the Johnson Town Council, and would have to get licensing from the Department of Environmental Management or approval from DEM. So I think it's that's an interesting, important bill that's still out there. And one other thing I wanted to mention, too, that I think is important, and maybe, you know, we'll see how timing is on your show, Ryan, whether there's more time to talk about it, but the State Department of Education, Rhode Island Department of Education, has issued a letter to a lot of educators, many of them received it, and which they're saying, and I'll read it because I think it's really important. It says, as the end of the school year approaches, RIDE is gearing up for our summer meals program, and we need your help. During the school year, nearly 76,000 Rhode Island students receive meals daily through the National School Lunch Program. In the summer months, those students and many more are at risk of going hungry. Last year, they served 467,000 meals during the summer, and they hope to top that this year. I ended up doing a little bit of research to take a look and see, well, you know, what kind of a problem is this really? And I was surprised and disturbed at some of the things that I found. So one of the groups I looked at was something called No Kid Hungry, a national group that put out a summer nutrition social impact analysis. But I'll mention that in a moment. But then I looked at the numbers for Rhode Island on childhood poverty. And so in the years 2006 to 2010, 16.7% of Rhode Island children under the age of 18 were living in poverty. 2011 to 2015, that number rose almost 4% to 20.4%. That's really a disturbing number. And according to this No Kid Hungry report, where they took a look at choices that people who were living on poverty were making, they found that two-thirds of households living in poverty had to choose between food and utilities. Think of that for a moment. Making choice between food and utilities. And two-thirds also were choosing between food and medical care. Those are some incredible choices. And
what's interesting is we ran that story on whatsupnewp.com, and David Carlin, who's on the Newport School Committee, said, very troubling statistics. Obviously, on the bright side, Newport School Department, in cooperation with partners, does provide a healthy summer lunch program, which is free for all, provided through U.S. government, USFDA dollars, grants, and private donations, and available in several locations throughout the city in the months of July and August. Yes. So
Ride's point is not that we don't have those programs. Ride's point is that people don't know how to access those programs. So the ideas and the things that make it really important, and you take a look at statistics when they run in terms of education, all those things, economics, is making sure that kids are receiving meals during the summer. It's a matter of finding those places. And certainly check with the school department, with the state, and I think something like 211 STAR or something like that, you'll see literature coming out that will point you in the direction to find the locations that are providing the meals. I want to thank you for listening today. Next up, Ryan Belmore and What's Up, Noop? Radio Edition.